This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of the Naz and Wally Sports Hour, heard Sunday mornings at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
The world doesn't need another sports show. It needs an awesome sports show. You're listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Good morning, Naz. Good morning, Wally. The boys are back. Let's talk sports.
Good morning and welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. I'm your host, Walter Rigabon. Joining me as usual in studio, my co-host, Naz Marchese. Good morning, Naz. How are you?
Good, Wally. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Got a power pack show today. We're going to talk some basketball with Butch Carter. We're going to talk some hockey with Michael Tracos. And we're going to talk some golf. Naz, doesn't look like golf weather out there, but
a little windy for golf today.
Yeah, a little windy, a little cold. But you know what? Got to start getting ready for the golf season. Who better than Sean Clement? So we're looking forward to talking to Sean bottom end of the hour. We're going to get right into it. Former Raptors coach Butch Carter. Good morning, Butch. How are you this morning?
Good morning, guys. Awfully nice to hear your voices today.
Also, very nice to hear your voice, Butch, and to Naz and to you, Butch. I wish you and your families a happy Family Day weekend. Family's important, Butch. I know you and I have talked about it quite a bit, Naz. I've been, I guess, part of your family, and you've been part of my family for a long time. So, and to all our listeners, family's important. To all of you, have a fantastic Family Day weekend, Butch. Why don't we spend a second or two talking about last week's Super Bowl, and I want to approach it from your expertise and your perspective. Patrick Mahomes, this guy just knows how to win. It's probably the best way of putting it. But my sense of what the Kansas City Chiefs did over the course of three playoff games, in a lot of ways, they got outplayed in the first half, but figured out a way to win it in the second half. How much of that is coaching adjustments at halftime, Butch?
Well, I think Andy Reid is the perfect coach for Mahomes. He allows him to be himself, which has been hard. Where, you know, Shanahan tries to control his quarterback, and the Chiefs were just very professional. Kelce got healthy, and they stopped dropping balls. I mean, they didn't drop a ball in Buffalo. And, you know, they'd been dropping the ball. I think they led the league in drops the whole season. So for whatever reason, they professionally elevated themselves, and it made them more efficient. I think they're just a really unique team that has the right coach in place with the right group of talent. You know, they've lost people in free agency, but they're just good when they need it. No one expected them to go to Baltimore and do what they did. And their offense was efficient. Their defense got Lamar stopped. Lamar could not get into a rhythm. And for most good players, you know, when they get into a rhythm, they do damage to you, but they were just really good, guys. I mean, complete package in three phases, offense, defense, and special teams. And it's just hard to beat a championship team when they're clicking like that.
If you're Buffalo and Baltimore, how do you feel about next year? Do they have a shot at coming back and doing something?
Well, Buffalo's not going to have a shot at doing anything unless they get some receivers with some height. I've said all along, I spent a lot of time in Niagara Falls now because of a business I have over there. But I don't see how you have short receivers and have a quarterback 6'4", 6'3", and he's got to throw the ball down all the time. It diminishes his value, and it makes it really hard when you have third downs and you need to get, you know, 9 or 10 yards that you have to find these small receivers. You know, in my history in life, you know, I've been a Dallas Cowboys fan, won championships with big receivers. You know, you guys know my history with my brother Chris and Randy Moss in Minnesota.
Yep.
Just taller receivers offer better angles, and I think that they've got too much money spent on a good receiver, but there's no height on the other side. And so, you know, that's what I think of Buffalo. I think that Baltimore will be better next year. I don't think anyone's been more consistent than Harbaugh with his team. They've got Lamar signed, and they've always done a good job defensively. They've got a lot of athletes that seem to play well in that Baltimore system. So, you know, I think you're going to see those three teams back playing each other in some combination if there are no injuries. But Buffalo's, for me, to protect my quarterback, you would think in college somewhere you can find a tall receiver that can run and catch. So,
Butch, let's talk some basketball. It's All-Star Weekend down in Indiana. And the buzz is who's going into the Basketball Hall of Fame this year. And the number one contender is a gentleman that you spent some time with in Toronto, Vince Carter. Butch, Vince seems to be at the top of the pecking order this year. How much would it mean to you for him to go into the Basketball Hall of Fame?
Well, I mean, if you have a chance to influence any young person's life to the level in which they exceed all expectations, and I think Vince did that in what he did for the city. I think not just what he did for the city, but what he did for Canadian basketball. Vince's ability to play basketball and speak the King's English and translate that to Canadian fans, especially young fans, opened the door. I think it allowed a faster integration of Canadian basketball. Before Vince played here, a lot of the old Canadian guys complained about that they weren't getting a fair chance on the international level with Canadian basketball. Vince, I think, accelerated that. He basically eviscerated the old principles, and he stands for a lot. I mean, the Hall of Fame, everyone will say, you know, it's the Hall of Fame, but, you know, for me, at the end of the day, I'll have three young people that I've impacted their life that go into the Hall of Fame. I should have four if Vin Baker would not have had the alcohol problem, because he would have been on track to be a Hall of Famer also. So I've been through this process with my brother Chris. I've been through this process with Tracy. No one deserves it more than V. Carter. He's been exemplary in everything that he's done. From the standpoint of what he achieved by coming to a foreign country. And, you know, I think that says a lot. I mean, Tracy would have been number one from a foreign that played in a foreign country. Vince will be number two. I believe my math is right on that. So, outstanding achievement for everyone. You know, the only thing that sets me back at times when I hear the local media try to say Kyle Lowry's the best Raptor it's ever played. I'm like, where does that come from? If you did that survey of American basketball fans, I think it would be voted the other way. But outstanding achievement for everyone involved. And the good, the bad, you know, I've got my opinion on that. But the reality is, for a kid we drafted out of North Carolina that they said wasn't even the best player on his college team, it's a heck of an achievement.
The WNBA for Toronto, do they have a chance of getting a franchise, and how would it go here?
Well, I mean, I think the issue for WNBA has always been, you know, the Canadian genre is to go to the cottage in the summer. And I don't know how that's going to play out with WNBA when, you know, there's such an exodus on the higher-end ticket buyers. The WNBA as a product has had its successes and failures. The other question is, where do they play? Do you put them in an arena that's got too many seats? That normally doesn't work out when to maximize your gross revenue per seat in an arena, you would normally sell your outdates to concerts that you get a guarantee. So, there's questions of, women's basketball, without a doubt, with Caitlin Clark, what she's doing, and the new TV package for college is growing, how it transitions in Toronto. We've had the Vancouver team not make it. So I think it's a slippery slope, unless somebody knows something and I don't. But it always boils down to the math and the enthusiasm of the following. And we got our following by playing Sunday afternoon games, and parents had to let the kids come. And we did that strategically so that the game really were scheduled at 6 or 7 p.m., but we knew that the kids couldn't come. So, let's see how this goes, but I wish them the best. But those are the things you have to worry about.
Butch, NCAA, where basketball, March Madness is right around the corner, and there's a Canadian kid that's going to be in the thick of the mix this year, as he was last year. The Purdue Boilermakers, I think, are number two right now. I think Connecticut's number one, but correct me if I'm wrong, by all means, Butch. The kid, Zach Edey, I know that you've spent some time with him in Toronto. He didn't go to the pros last year. Seems like a good decision. His progress, and for that matter, all the other Canadians that are playing Division I basketball.
Yeah, well Zach, they play Ohio State today at 1 o'clock in Columbus, Ohio. I'm kind of anxious to see that game. A good friend of mine who just had a heart transplant, his son, Evan Mahaffey, plays at Ohio State. And they let their coach go, so this is going to be the first game with the new staff. And interested to see that. Watched Kansas yesterday. They had hit a rudder and, not played well on the road. And they got a win at Oklahoma. I think Kansas is always going to be an issue in a tournament. Kentucky, I watched them in Auburn yesterday. Kentucky played the best game from start to finish that I've seen them play this year. They've been inconsistent in their defense. So, but they played great yesterday. They really did. It's I think it's always important to go into the tournament. I worry about Purdue. Purdue, for whatever reason, has not played well with Zach once they get in the NCAA tournament, and not because of Zach, but because of his teammates. It seems that when Purdue gets into the NCAA tournament and the other teams have great perimeter athletes, that Zach's teammates aren't able to make those shots or get those shots that they're able to get in the Big Ten. And Wisconsin and Iowa, I was surprised that Iowa got a win at Wisconsin yesterday, which is going to kind of screw Wisconsin up. They're probably going to be a bubble team if they lose another game or two. Out west, Arizona's outstanding. UConn had an outstanding game against Marquette yesterday. I mean, college basketball is clicking from East Coast to West Coast like it has in a long time. I think the games are extremely interesting and fun to watch. But I, at this time of the year, I watch a lot of games. Hopefully there's something else going on I can talk to you guys about later on, but I've got a lot of interest about everything that's going on right now.
Butch, we got about a minute and a half, 2 minutes left in this segment. We'd be remiss if we didn't get a chance to talk to you about the Raptors. Masai has been busy all year long and substantially altered the makeup of this team. Where are the Raptors in the thick of the mix now? What have the changes, what difference has it made, and what difference will it make on a go-forward basis? Are we any chance of making the playoffs? Bring us all up to speed on the Raptors, Butch.
I don't think you'd want to make the playoffs. guys, you can't be in the gray. You either have to, go back. When I took over as interim coach, I won some specific games. But I knew it was in our best interest that we couldn't win all the games. It would be at a huge detriment if I went out and won 60 or 70% of the games. But I won some very important games because at that time there were so many places that so many other teams the Raptors had never beaten. Masai and them are in a quagmire, and a lot of teams get in this quagmire where you're in your transition, and the biggest issue for them is not how they play, but what kind of character they have. You cannot take young players and have them lose every year and expect that all of a sudden they're going to have a championship style of play. So at some point, you know, he's shuffling the cards, but at the end of the day, they've got to reset the whole program. And he's got to have a coach that understands how to do that. Now, the concern you have is Darko's voice strong enough to manage the bad times and then elevate when he's gotten more talent? The talent that they have right now is not very good. And it's the nature of the beast. When you let Pascal, and I agree with moving Pascal because it wasn't his offense. I thought his defense had deteriorated horribly. Actually, when they played the Pacers at home, there was a transition play where Pascal was supposed to pick up the ball. Just let the guy go. It was a matador. So it's tough. Teams go through it, and the people who are in the chair, Bobby and Masai, have to figure it out. And that's what they're paid for. And Masai's done it before. So, you know, let's see if he can do it again.
Butch, we're going to let you go. We're going to thank you for bringing us up to speed on all things basketball and sharing your Super Bowl insights with us. Butch, once again, happy Family Day weekend. It's always a privilege having you with us. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much, guys. Take care. All the best.
Butch Carter. Yeah. Going to take it to break, and we're going to come right back. We got some NHL Toronto Maple Leafs talk ahead of us here. Naz, Austin Matthews, what a week. And who better to chat with than Michael Tracos. We'll be right back.
It was a rainy day in Pizzaville when my wife accused me of having an affair. How could I tell her that I was hopelessly in love with extra thin crust pizza from Pizzaville? I didn't ask for this to happen. It was so thin, so delicate, so delicious. I can't bear to share it with my wife. She wants me to see a counsellor, but I don't want to share it with him either. Call Pizzaville for an extra thin crust pizza at 736-3636.
Passion. It drives athletes, entrepreneurs, family businesses, and fast-growing companies. It's also what inspires KPMG Enterprise to help drive success. A dedicated audit, tax, law, and advisory practice, KPMG Enterprise delivers ideas and insights. Whether you want to grow your business, embrace technology, plan for an exit, or manage the transition of wealth, search KPMG Enterprise, understanding what it takes to make your business even better.
There are lawyers at Miller Thompson who know your industry. They'd like to introduce you to theirs. It starts with relationships. It's not just about happy clients. They support thriving business partners. Miller Thompson infuses law with the same tenacity you bring to your work, whether supporting your daily operations or offering urgent legal advice. But that's enough about them. Let's talk about you. Visit MillerThompson.com and find out how they can move your business forward.
Anyone can sell you a rookie card in mint condition, but only Mint Inc. turns a purchase into an experience. Do you want more sports cards and Pokemon? At almost 3,000 square feet and with a live studio and event space, Mint Inc.'s new experience will be the place for collectors to meet their heroes. Get ready for the Mint Inc. trading cards and live experience coming to Vaughan in spring of 2024. Watch for updates at mintink.ca and check out the Toronto store on Devonport.
From face-offs to playoffs, field goals to own goals, you're listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Naz and Woolley Sports Hour. We are live on AM 740 in downtown Toronto, 96.7 FM, live streaming on the internet at zoomerradio.ca. We're pleased to welcome back to the Naz and Woolley Sports Hour from the Hockey News, Michael Tracos. Good morning, Michael. How are you this morning?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. Happy family day weekend to you guys.
And, of course, the same to you and your family, Michael. Thank you so much for that. Michael, we're on an Austin Matthews high this morning. What a week from our franchise player. Pretty spectacular, Michael.
Yeah, I don't know what to say anymore, guys. It's just, it's unreal. It seems like every day we're talking about this guy. I can't remember another player aside from Ovechkin, even him, where the goals just come this easily. And it just seems like anytime he's got the puck right now, you're almost at the edge of your seat thinking, all right, here comes another one. To be scoring this many hat tricks, what has he got, like 48 goals?
48 goals, 50, six hat tricks.
In 51 games or something?
Yeah, it's
like
pretty
that.
Remarkable.
Yeah, like on pace for well over 70 goals. Conservatively, I think for sure he's going to get 60 this year. I think it's realistic that he could easily get 70 goals, and we're witnessing history right now, and I just wonder how much of an impact this is going to have on Bradford Living as we inch closer to this March 8th deadline. Because when you got a scorer like Austin Matthews, and it's a weapon that no team in the NHL has, I don't care what you say about McDavid and Nathan MacKinnon, what Matthews is doing is just unreal. So this has to have an impact on what Trey Living does come trade deadline.
He's ranked fourth for MVP, and he's going to score 70 goals. That's got to change, don't you think, Mike?
I think so. And I got into this argument yesterday with some guys at the Hockey News just about, it is a pretty good field for the MVP when you're talking about what Kucherov's doing in Tampa, what MacKinnon's doing in Colorado, even what McDavid is doing in Edmonton. And that's leaving out guys like David Pastrnak and, Quinn Hughes in Vancouver, or even a Thatcher Demko. There's a lot of, great performances this year. That being said, is there a better measure of a player than goal scoring? At the end of the day, you got to score goals to win games. And if you got a guy who's going to score 70 goals this year, how is he not the MVP?
There's certainly a lot of high-end talent in the NHL these days, and that's going to be a tough vote. There's no question about it, but certainly Austin Matthews should be front and center in that discussion, and he doesn't seem to be front and center in that discussion just yet. Mind you, scoring six goals in the last two games has probably vaulted him into the middle of the discussion, so no question about that. Michael, the other big story in Leafland this week, Morgan Rielly's suspension. Got 5 games. We talked about it on the show last Sunday. We didn't know what the amount of the suspension was going to be when we talked about it last Sunday. The incident that just happened the night before in Ottawa. And the powers that be at the NHL decided that the appropriate amount was 5 games. I thought that was a little bit on the heavy side, mind you. We always look at these things from a Toronto Maple Leaf perspective, and the rest of the league doesn't necessarily look at it that way. But knowing Morgan Rielly is my sidekick on the Pizzaville commercial, I thought 5 was a little excessive. Are we just looking at it as homers, Michael, or I thought maybe 2? Given his, he's a Lady Bing candidate a few years back. I think he finished 4th 1 year. He's a consummate gentleman. I thought 5 was a bit rich, Michael.
I'm with you. I thought 3 would have been the perfect number, either 2 or 3, or I wouldn't have gone more than 3 games, and for the reasons you mentioned. I think, going into before the suspension, I would have argued that he was another Lady Bing candidate for this year. I believe he only had, as a defenseman, he's got, 23 penalty minutes now. So that is fairly low. I'll say this much, aside from the games, obviously Toronto now has won, they won 3 games now since he's been out.
Yep.
Yeah, not doing so bad without him in the lineup. I think this is going to be a moment, guys, where, you know, we're going to be in the second round of the playoffs, and there's going to be a lot of people saying, you remember that time when Morgan Riley, you know, cross-checked Ridley Gregg after that showboating empty net goal? That was the moment when the Toronto Maple Leafs truly became a team. And that's when it really galvanized these guys and said, all right, fight for your teammates, fight for that, you know, the crest on the front of the jersey. This was the moment where, you know, this team stopped becoming just a regular season juggernaut team that kind of falls asleep in the playoffs. And this is where they, you know, forge an identity. So, you know, I think you're going to take the good and the bad with that. The bad is obviously you're losing Morgan Riley for another couple more games here. But the good part of it is I think this team has never looked more like a team since that moment.
And Max Domi taking on Gudas last night, it just continued that that particular pattern. I think I kind of like your analysis there, Michael. When you lose somebody of that caliber, you lose. You know, the other night, Marner and Tavares were out.
Tavares
out last night. You know, the other guys got to step up, and you know, and we're seeing some of the other guys step up, particularly a young undrafted guy, Bobby McCann. You surprised by his performance?
Well, how could you not be surprised? Like this guy's never. You know, even with the Marlies, you know, he scored 21 goals in 30 games a couple years ago or last year with the Marlies. But, you know, no one's saying Bobby McMahon is going to be the second coming of Austin Matthews. And here we are. He's got 7 goals in 29 games. Undrafted guy, like you mentioned. But, yeah, you're going to need these Bobby McMahons and, you know, the Matthew Knives and, you know, Max Domi making an impact, whether it's with his stick or with his fist. Those are the kind of things you need if this team's going to be successful. You know, it's great that Austin Matthews now has, you know, six goals in like 2 games here. But, you know, in the playoffs, you know, teams are going to be trying to shut him down at all costs. And, you know, if you can get some depth scoring from the McMahons in your lineup, this Leafs team's going to be in good stead. But, yeah, shocked at what he's been able to do. Like, you know, he's not a guy that played major junior. Like, remember, he played in the Alberta Junior League and then played 5 seasons at Colgate University. Those kind of players don't become NHL stars, let alone guys who are chipping in for 7 goals in 30 games here. So I'm amazed by it. But, yeah, that's the kind of contributions that the Leafs are going to have to ask for, especially with their salary cap the way it is.
The upcoming Four Nations Cup that they're running, you wrote a book about the North American team, and look at the guys that Canada has coming up. What do you think their chances are against the U.S.?
It's going to be tough. Let's face it, the U.S. has never had, you know, Austin Matthews-type players on their roster, and now they've got Jack Hughes, Quinn Hughes, Adam Fox. You know, the goaltending is just lights out. I don't even know who would be your number one. Would it be Connor Hellebuck? Would it be Thatcher Demko? Would it be a guy like Jeremy Swayman? Probably leaving out on a couple names there as well. So it's going to be tough. You know, Canada's still going to be Canada. You're going to have McDavid. You're going to have Marner. You're going to have, you know, guys like Nathan MacKinnon. You're still going to have a Sidney Crosby that's, you know, still performing well as he inches closer to year 40. But it's going to be great. I think, you know, with Russia not being in it, this is a perfect excuse for them to kind of draw upon the Canada-U.S. rivalry as well as the Sweden-Finland rivalry. And, you know, at the end of the day, I think people want Olympic hockey. But, you know, the Four Nations Cup, I think, is, you know, it's a great excuse to kind of have best on best and see where the U.S. kind of stacks up against Canada.
Yeah, I mean, this best on best is way, way long overdue. You know, we've lost. When you think about the last time it's been best on best, I can't even remember. It's got to be at least 8, what?
It was 2016 with the World Cup.
2016. We haven't seen. Yeah, it was the under. I remember that was. I thought Nathan MacKinnon was an absolute force in that tournament. He was probably 20 years old at the time, 21 or however old he was. And, you know.
He was so long ago that Austin Matthews wasn't even in the NHL.
Wasn't even in. So you think of what we've lost seeing Connor McDavid and Nathan MacKinnon and Cale Makar and on the U.S. side wearing their national colors. How the powers that be in hockey allowed that to happen is in some ways shameful. We've missed an entire generation. Well, we're finally getting to it, but thankfully after all these years, but it's going to be fascinating because we haven't seen best on best hockey of these generational players like Austin Matthews and. And MacKinnon and McDavid and all these guys. It's a shame that it's been missed. But thankfully we're going to get it next year, and it looks like we're going to get it in the Olympics as well. So we're playing a little bit of catch up there. Michael, Tree Living, March 8th. What's he thinking? Other than you've got a generational goal scorer playing at the peak of his talent and the peak of his power, and you've got a core four that isn't getting any younger, what's Brad thinking?
Well, I'm going to draw an analogy here. So you can either go shopping and you can go to the butcher. You can go to, a produce stand, and then you can go to like a bulk barn and, maybe make 3, 4, 5 trips and get all your shopping done. Or you can be Brad Tree Living and just go to Calgary, get a goalie and Jacob Markstrom, get a couple defensemen and Noah Hanifin and Chris Tanev. Maybe there's a forward that you can grab for the third line or something, and one shop stop, just go to your Costco basically. I think a lot of what Toronto's looking for, Tree Living's old team has it in spades. So what does this team need, this Leaf team? I think they need some help on the defense. I think Morgan Riley out really shed the light on the fact that there is a huge, huge gap between Morgan Riley and the next best Leaf defenseman. So I think that's got to change first. The other thing is, say what you want about Ilya Samsonov, say what you want about Joseph Woll when he gets healthy and starts playing again. But, if this Leaf team is going to win a Stanley Cup, they need a little bit more security back there in net. And, if Markstrom is going to be available, I would be going after a goaltender, whether it's him, whether it's Marc-Andre Fleury, whether it's a Jake Allen, some sort of, maybe not an upgrade, but at least something that you can turn to if the wheels fall off Samsonov, or if Woll just looks a little, if the moment is a little too much for him. So, defense, goaltending, and maybe another depth player, that'd be on my wish list. And I don't care what it costs. You got a guy who's going to score 70 goals this year. You got to make sure you give this team every opportunity available.
What would it take to get these guys from Calgary in the way of players or draft picks, Michael?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question, really. I think you got a Nick Robertson that can be dangled as a chip. You've got Easton Cowan and playing in London. You've got some draft picks. I don't think it's going to cost, multiple first rounders and top end prospects. I don't think you're going to have to part ways with a Matthew Nyes, but it's going to cost you. And of the teams that want to go for it, when you look at Pittsburgh right now, they paid the price for how many draft picks they gave up over the years. But if you're a Penguins fan, you can say, while Crosby and Malkin and Letang were there, this team won, back to back cups in 2016-17, and then they won another one earlier. So, it's worth it sometimes. So you got to go all in, especially when you've got these horses up front. Because, we talk about the championship window and how it's going to be propped open forever as long as Matthews and Marner are there. But, these guys do get older, and it becomes harder and harder to ice an actual competitive team. Let's not forget other teams are also joining the mix now. We're seeing what we're seeing out of Detroit. I don't think Ottawa is going to be at the bottom of the standings every year, and same thing with Buffalo. So, you know, you got to strike when the iron's hot, and you know the iron's never been hotter as we've seen right now.
Michael, last question or comment before we let you go. We're actually going to be talking golf in the last 15 minutes of this segment, but we're going to have to wrap this up with you, Michael. I looked at the standings this morning, and guess what? The Boston Bruins are not in first place in the Atlantic Conference. The Florida Panthers are, and they laid a beating. They laid a beating on Tampa yesterday, and I sort of see this as a positive development because I didn't think Leafs matching up against Florida in the first round again was necessarily pretty good. So as things stand this morning, the Leafs would be taking on Boston in the first round. Is this Florida seems to be on a little bit of a roll here, and they seem to have gotten things together. They are sort of developing as Stanley Cup favorites here, Michael.
Yeah, you know what? Florida is the Boston Bruins of like 10, maybe 10 years ago. They played the Bruins style of hockey better than the Bruins do these days. So I'm with you. I don't think the Leafs match up particularly well against the Panthers. You know, Boston's got a couple great goaltenders back there, and they got Marchand, they got Pasternak, they got Charlie McAvoy, but you know, they're weak down the middle. I think they're susceptible to what the Leafs can bring to the table, and they don't scare you as much as they used to do. I don't mind a Toronto-Boston first round. Obviously, I think the fans will go gaga over that. Either way, though, I think you're going to have to go through a hell of a, you know, first couple rounds if you're going to get down to the conference final. Like, Atlantic division might be the toughest division in hockey right now.
Michael, we're going to let you go. We're going to thank you as we always do, and should be fascinating few weeks as we head towards March the 8th and thereafter. Thanks again, Michael.
All right. Thanks, guys. And enjoy the rest of the weekend.
Same to you and your family. All the best. We're going to take it to break. When we come back, we're going to talk some golf with Sean Clement. We'll be right back.
It was a rainy day in Pizzaville when we realised that our extra-large pizza is 2 whole inches longer than the so-called extra-large from the big pizza conglomerates. How do they even call theirs extra-large when Pizzaville gives you 18 whopping inches, steaming hot? Because, let's be honest, who wouldn't want 2 more inches?
Pizzaville, stone-baked pizza. Fiercely Canadian. Authentically Italian.
There are lawyers at Miller Thompson who know your industry. They'd like to introduce you to theirs. It starts with relationships. It's not just about happy clients. They support thriving business partners. Miller Thompson infuses law with the same tenacity you bring to your work, whether supporting your daily operations or offering urgent legal advice. But that's enough about them. Let's talk about you. Visit MillerThompson.com and find out how they can move your business forward.
Anyone can sell you a rookie card in mint condition, but only Mint Inc. turns a purchase into an experience. Do you want more sports cards and Pokemon? At almost 3,000 square feet and with a live studio and event space, Mint Inc.'s new experience will be the place for collectors to meet their heroes. Get ready for the Mint Inc. trading cards and live experience coming to Vaughan in spring of 2024. Watch for updates at mintink.ca and check out their Toronto store on Devonport.
Passion. It drives athletes, entrepreneurs, family businesses, and fast-growing companies. It's also what inspires KPMG Enterprise to help drive success. A dedicated audit, tax, law, and advisory practice, KPMG Enterprise delivers ideas and insights. Whether you want to grow your business, embrace technology, plan for an exit, or manage the transition of wealth, search KPMG Enterprise, understanding what it takes to make your business even better.
Opinions expressed on the Naz and Wally Sports Hour are those of Naz and Wally and their guests.
You name it, they'll argue about it. No sport left unturned. The boys are back, the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live on AM 740, 96.7 FM, downtown Toronto, and live streaming on the internet at zoomerradio.ca. We're pleased to welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour our good friend, the director of golf at the Royal Quebec Golf Club and one of the world's great golf presences on the internet at Wisdom in Golf. And also on YouTube at Sean Clement. Of course, the one and only Sean Clement. Good morning, Sean. How are you?
I'm awesome, you guys. Nice toque there, Naz.
Thank you. Go Leafs, go.
Go Leafs, go.
It's so cool.
Yeah, it's a little chilly in studio here, but Naz, he's got to have his regalia on. Sean, we haven't chatted in a while. We bumped into each other at the Canadian Open this year at Oakdale. You were doing some PGA Tour work as a PGA Tour coach, and you've still been doing some fantastic work in all golf and in all of your endeavors, and we corresponded, texted with each other a little bit the last couple of days, and look what's happening down in L.A. at the Genesis at Riviera. Five Canadian men.
Isn't that cool, man?
Are in the thick, and look what happened last Sunday. A lot of us missed it because we were watching the Super Bowl, but I'm telling you, I didn't miss it. I made sure I was watching Nick Taylor do something spectacular. What a golden age for Canadian men's golf. And you mentioned something spectacular that's coming up this year, later on this year. In Quebec, of course, it's the President's Cup. Sean, bring us up to date on this special time in Canadian golf.
Well, I'll tell you, man, congrats to Nick Taylor. He is really turning into a clutch guy. And, it's just like deja vu. I mean, it feels like yesterday we were at the Canadian Open and watching him have this incredible benchmark moment here for Canadian golf. And now we have the President's Cup coming up this year, and a lot of Canadian players are in the running, notably, of course, Nick Taylor, who just went up in the standings like crazy. I think Mike Weir is a happy guy right now. And it's just going to be so much fun watching these guys bolster for positioning. I think this is going to be the greatest season of Canadian golf on the PGA Tour ever this year.
I found him really a great putter last week. What do you think of his putting?
It's like technically when you look at the way the guys are, there's so many more claw grips out there, and it's very, very anatomically sound to putt that way. It is very much Wisdom in Golf approved, but it's all in the hands of the beholder when it comes to the pressure situations, right? And he definitely has that extra little something in the moment.
I mean, what he did last summer, going back to what he did at Oakdale, and the pressure, the absolutely crushing pressure that you put a Canadian in to win your national open for the first time. I think it was 69 years, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, it was 2 years before I was born, 1954. Not too hard.
That's a long time.
Man. Yeah, and
that's a long time, man. We had a lot of talent. We have a lot of talent up here.
Yeah,
it's a long time to wait.
And the way he did it in Hollywood, and then last Sunday, I think. Correct me if I'm wrong. Poor Charlie Hoffman. If I'm not mistaken, Taylor birdied five out of the last six golf holes that he played. Which is beyond belief when you're trying to win a tournament.
Charlie Hoffman did not lose that.
No, tournament. Not at all.
Right? Nick Taylor came in and plucked it out of his hands. And good on him. Like, it reminds me of, when you're playing foosball and somebody's just about ready to catch a ball to go to bat, and you steal it from them and you run into you run in for the prize, It's the best. It's the coolest.
Yeah, and talking about these Canadians, yesterday was I was checking the leaderboard down at the Genesis, and I'm looking at and on the PGA site, it actually shows the flags of where the contestants are from, And for the first time ever that I can recall, I saw four Canadian flags in the top 10. And I'm just, and it wasn't, one of them was not Nick Taylor, surprisingly enough. We're right. talking about Corey Connors, Mackenzie Hughes, Adam Hadwin, Adam Svensson. We're all either tied for 7th or 10th at minus 8 or minus 7. And then Nick Taylor at minus 4 tied. That was, you know, seeing four Canadian flags on a wow. on a leaderboard at an at a tournament, the Genesis, which is considered one of the more important tournaments on the PGA Tour. It attracts a lot of PGA Tour talent.
And I've played that course. I played that course twice. It is spectacular. It's one of my favorite golf courses of all time because you have to work the ball both directions. You got to be a really solid ball striker to perform well on that golf course. And obviously these guys know how to do it. You know, Corey Connors comes to mind when it comes to something like that. I could see him just breezing through and really enjoying that golf course. But then look at how fast the greens are. You know, so you need that touch and everything else. And I mean, it's amazing how our talent's really showing up right now.
Liv, the great Liv. How do we fix this thing with the PGA and Liv?
Oh, well, I mean, it's just they got to come together. It's, you know, we there's no, we can't continue this way, in my opinion. Everybody's got to come together for the good of the game and get everybody, you know, playing for the money that obviously they deserve. I know, you know, for many years I thought, it's very difficult if you're not in the top 150 in there. You're not, you know, you're really always worried about your job. And I think there should be a lot more guys out there in a position to not worry about that and really play clear-minded and enjoy the game, you know?
Sean, it's Family Day weekend in Ontario. Not so sure what it is in Quebec.
St. John Baptiste.
No, that's in June. What is it? It's cold?
Business as usual over here.
You don't have a holiday on Monday in Quebec?
No, we don't.
Okay. So it's Family Day weekend, which is going to, in Ontario, and we're going to segue me into your family. You've got a daughter, Savannah, who's... Yes. One of the top female long drivers in the world, number 9, yeah, if I'm not mistaken.
Man. Yeah, she's number 9 in the world now, and you know, she's been competing for the last two seasons. And you know, the last event she was in was at the World Championships. 60 of the top women in the world showed up in Atlanta, Georgia, and she made top 15.
That's pretty remarkable.
It really is. I mean, she's 5'5". She weighs, you know, weighs 130 pounds, and she carries the ball 300 yards.
I got a good friend of mine that wants to give up the game of golf because he can't hit the ball anymore, and he's a lot taller and heavier than Savannah. How does someone 5'5", 135 pounds hit the ball so far? What is she doing, and what are you teaching?
Well, I mean, it's something that's been in development, obviously, my whole career. And then when the two of them came out of university and they joined us here in Quebec City, we put together after about 2.5 years of working on her game, her boyfriend Munashe, who plays, he played football for Queen's University for 5 years while she was playing soccer. That's how they met. And then he was starting to play golf to keep her company on the golf course. And after 2.5 years, we figured this guy is the real deal for long drive. So we had him start to compete in long drive after 2.5 years from beginner. And now he's 74th in the world. So Sav says, well, I'd like to join him in his competitions. And I said, well, if you're going to join him, you got to compete because you're long enough. I know you're long enough. Let's see how well you do. And then lo and behold, 2 years later, she's number 9 in the world. And Moo's been coaching her. And, she took what I gave her up to 100 miles an hour club speed. She's now at 115 miles per hour club speed on cruise control.
Wow.
So we've turned that into an amazing speed training program here at the Royal Quebec. Now Moo is going to be putting on that speed training program here at the club this year. And Sav's going to be doing, mental game and speed training as well for the women.
You got to take that speed training program to Toronto. I'm getting up there in age, Sean. You got to figure out how to keep my distance a few more years.
You betcha, man. I'll be happy to help you there. I just had my own breakthrough this week. If you look on my Instagram, I'm 15 yards longer throughout the bag. I'm actually carrying the ball back over 300 yards now at age 58.
So how do you do it? How do you get better? And I know your daughter is ninth. How does she get to the number one spot? How does she get better with a coach like you?
Well, I mean, there's a lot to it. I mean, the women she's competing against, I mean, the top five women are basically about 6 feet tall, and they really move the club a lot more easily than she is. She's about a good 15 to 20 yards behind them. So the physicality helps. So we have a special program to get you to get stronger, and that Moo takes care of that. And then technique is huge. I mean, you got to be able to move the club efficiently without effort. That's the key.
That's the holy grail of golf, isn't it?
Yeah, man. the more you strain, the worse it gets.
I've been trying to find that secret for more years than I can remember. But
does the golf ball make any difference using whatever golf ball you use? I just thought I'd throw that out to you, right?
Well, I mean, the golf ball is making a difference in the game in general. The golf ball they use, the Bridgestone ball they use for long drive competitions, is actually not the greatest one. There are much longer balls out there than that one. They weren't very happy with that, but I mean, you got to deal with the sponsors that come your way, and so. I'm hopeful they'll use a better ball this year for the long drives.
Interesting point. I never considered it, Sean, because there's been a controversy in the professional golf ranks and the USGA and the RNA about using a standardized ball, and they don't. But in long drive, they do. Is everybody using the same ball?
Yeah, everybody uses the same ball in long drive.
Do they control the clubs at all? What are the limitations on the driver you can use in long drive?
Well, here's the deal. If you look at Moo, he's a lefty. The lowest lofted club he can get is 7.5 degrees, and the only one that really stands the test is the Cobra head. He'll implode every other head in the industry within 20 to 100 hits. So the technology, the spring-like effect on the club faces that you see for the average player do not apply to long drive. So the righties out there are benefiting from the real beefed up heads that have to be able to, withstand club head speeds of 150 miles an hour. I mean, all bets are off when you're over 135 miles an hour. So these guys don't have an advantage when it comes to equipment. They have 48 inches long for the length of the club, and they're actually using 2.5 degrees of loft. So they have these
2.5 degrees.
Yeah, so 4.5 degrees club head turned down to 2.5 degrees, and Moo is 74th in the world with a 7.5 degree head because he's a lefty, and
they don't make them.
They don't make them exactly.
Wow.
So what he's been able to do has been nothing short of spectacular.
Sean, we just got a couple of minutes left. We want to let our listeners catch up with what's going on with you, how they can. Like I've said over the years, you've got some fantastic material. You're one of the best golf teachers in the world. You're headed to the Mexico Open. You've got some VIP clinics down there. You've got Wisdom in Golf. You got some clinics going on. Just bring our listeners up to date in terms of what's going on with Sean Clement.
Yeah, Sav and I are actually heading down to, we're playing the Pro-Am. Actually, I came in second last year with my group with Bobby Shelton and Steven Yeager. And we had a blast. The guys I was with in my group had some really good short game. And because I was teeing up from the white tees, I kept putting those guys up near the green, and we had a blast. and you know, it's when you have a good sponsor and they allow you to play, it's a lot of fun. So Sav and I are going to tag team it this year, and looking forward to that. And looking forward to some, you know, warmer weather, of course. And then we have another gig. She's been invited for a big celebrity long drive event in Huntington Beach, California, coming up in March. And it's going to be televised on ESPN as well. So so because of her classification in the world right now, she's being invited to some pretty cool gigs.
And Wisdom in Golf is still going strong. You still got zillions Absolutely. Of viewers on YouTube. Tell us all about that.
Going strong on YouTube. You know, that landscape is changing dramatically, but we're holding our own. And our club here this year is celebrating our 150th anniversary. So there's going to be a lot of action there, and also because our sister club, Boral Montreal, has the big event of this year. So there's a lot going on right now, and we're putting on, because our speed training program is doing so well. We're going to be putting on a special package, a 3-day package that you folks in Toronto will be able to come to Royal Quebec and enjoy. The golf course here and a transformation in your golf game.
Sean, on that note, our producer's looking at me and telling me I got to get off the air. So we're going to thank you. It's always a pleasure catching up with you. And I hope I get to see you in the flesh sooner rather than later. Yeah. My game might need a little bit of tweaking.
Let's go. We have a good guest room for you here in Quebec City.
Awesome stuff. Thanks, Sean. Sean Clement.
Thanks, Sean.
All right. Naz, I will give you the last word as always.
Happy Family Day tomorrow. Everybody enjoy themselves.
To all our listeners, and I do want a special shout out to our producer this morning, Ashy. First time, Ashy, you've been worked on the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. Your work was impeccable this morning.
Standout.
So. Owen's always been good to us, but we will just say this. We're always happy for you to step in for Owen. Thanks so much. To all our listeners, have a fantastic Family Day weekend and a fantastic and safe week. We'll be back again next Sunday morning.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.